you're feeling good today. We can't keep up with you. You're doing
bad.
Got a little pepper.
Daniel, you don't know what I got.
You want some more?
Wait, is that an offer?
Drink a little whiskey.
You got whiskey. Take your head and pass it down. I like it.
It's a slightly friendlier crowd.
Is this on?
Yes, on.
Yeah, they look friendly out there.
They do. Quiet.
Take the bulletproof glass down, please.
Just nice to see the half crowd's not wearing t-shirts.
Okay, we will call this meeting to order. Are there any public comments? Hearing none. The topics for discussion: approval of March 26, 2013 audit committee minutes. Who's going to do that?
I move approval.
Second.
That's a council motion, Madam President.
I didn't hear you.
She moved.
I move for approval.
I second.
Of the minutes.
Be quick.
Call roll.
Ms. Heimbuchel?
Aye.
Mr. Musley?
Aye.
Mr. McLeod?
Aye.
Ms. Rowland?
Aye.
Ms. Rich?
Aye. B is review audit committee audit comments for fiscal year 2012.
Madam President, I'll go ahead and take the lead on that. First of all, let me thank council members for serving on the audit committee. As you know, we meet quarterly to discuss audit-related issues. And today, I'm going to turn the time over to the city's chief financial officer, who will lead us through a discussion and who will be assisted by the city's external auditors through that discussion.
Thank you, Diane Reichert. And I'm going to introduce Mary Ann Davis. She's the finance director for the city, and she's going to present to you the audit findings from the last year's audit and let you know the progress we've made on those audit findings as of this point.
Good afternoon. As most of you know, in the audit, the auditors always find some areas where we can improve or correct issues that come up, and this is just an update on last year's comments. Our goal is to get rid of as many as possible, if not all of them, before the next audit. The first one is on Crystal River 3 nuclear decommissioning. The comment was that the city should continue to monitor the ongoing settlement negotiations with attention to the city's ongoing responsibility for its share of future decommissioning costs. The city has designated FMPA as its agent in the settlement negotiations, and these negotiations are currently underway.
Mary Ann, let me, if I can, just elaborate there. Negotiations are fully underway there. Nick Gariello and Fred Bryant, legal counsel for FMPA, are meeting with the CEO of Duke. So this is all the way to the top of Duke as these negotiations are moving forward. The ball right now is in Duke's court. We've made a counter offer. I am not at liberty to talk about that because I'm under a confidentiality agreement, but right now we've made a counter offer. It is in Duke's court, and it's all the way to their CEO's desk.
The second comment is on the utility system billing upgrade. The city should pay close attention to the complexities of the new billing system and ensure that processes and controls are well documented through narratives and flowcharts. Staff has had multiple meetings with all the departments that were involved in the utility billing system, and the project manager had worked to resolve all the issues prior to going live October 1. And we're going to have an update.
I'm Sonia Nasser. We're live today, so we're very happy. But it took the whole city, finance, IT, electric, water and sewer, sanitation, and an internal auditor to make us go live today. So I'm very happy the team worked together and came to this day.
Sonia's being very modest. This was a Herculean task, and staff worked literally Friday to about 10, Saturday to about 10, Sunday to about 10 o'clock to get this thing done. Herculean task, a major transition in our financial billing platform, and my kudos to you and your staff doing a great job.
Thank you.
All right, the next comment is on pension reform. It was recommended that the city complete its current deliberations over the general employee's pension and consider the same process for the police and fire pension plans. Action has been taken on that. The pension reform was adopted by City Council on August 6th, Ordinance 2013-48 for the general employees. All the current general employees chose their plan by September 27th, and the new hires are now offered only a DC plan.
Question? That audit comment was in our last audit?
It's been in the last couple of audits.
The last couple
yes.
of audits. That's interesting. I think we need to remind everyone of that when we consider pension reform. That it's not just us saying it, it's our auditors saying it to us.
If I can also embellish Mary Ann's comments, I have an updated report for you about the number of employees that are going to migrate into the DC plan. Of a total of 539 employees that were eligible to migrate, 199 did, and that represents 37% of the eligible employees.
What's that dollar amount? Do you know the dollar amount?
When you say dollar amount, what do you mean by that, Mayor?
There's dollars in that defined contribution plan. I mean, they're rolling money over that was there from the defined benefit plan and
Got
the
it.
Defined contribution
yep.
plan.
Of the members of three groups of employees, you had the grandfathered, you had the vested, and then the non-invested. Of the non-vested who had the opportunity to roll the money over, 60 out of the 77 have also elected to move their frozen benefits over. And again, those are employees that have worked here between 1 day and 5 years. So I'm not sure that value, but I'll get it for you.
Okay, just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. The next comment is on, again, on the pension plan, but it's on pensionable wages. The city should review its definitions of pensionable wages for all the pension plans so they're all in agreement. This comment had to do with longevity because it was being treated as a bonus. The city no longer has the longevity, but the pensionable wages was clarified for the general employees pension plan. So I expect that comment to go away. The next one is a corrected misstatements. During the auditors proposed certain audit adjustments underscoring importance on ongoing account reconciliations of all the balance sheet accounts and increased awareness of non-routine events. The action that we took with all the balance sheets will be reconciled as soon as possible at the end of the year. Staff is going to be more aware of any non-routine events or transactions for compliance with relevant generally accepted accounting principles.
Marianne, can I invite you to go back one slide, please? Let me talk about the action taken on the second bullet point on the page you're looking at. Recall yesterday during the impasse hearing, one of the issues you contended with was the longevity payout. About 2 years ago, the state legislature passed a bill that precludes cities from making longevity payouts that are based solely on longevity. It's got to be performance related. I want to make sure you're aware of that because what we're trying to do is transition our historical longevity payout from a tenure basis into a performance basis. And that was one of the reasons behind the decision that you made yesterday is to come in compliance with state law.
All right, the next comment had to do with our pole attachment contract rates. The auditors had recommended the city review its pole attachment contracts, consider revising the rates, and recommended a physical count every three to four years. The action taken was that the rates had increased from $17.23 to $20.07 for 2013. The next pole audit is set for 2015, and the poles are tracked through the GIS system and the information is updated. So I expect that comment to go away as well. Capital assets, The auditors had recommended a formal policy for asset disposals and recommended continuation to work on procedures for properly recording disposals. Due to a change in staff, this policy is going to have to be completed during fiscal year 14. We have requested a sample policy through the FGFOA listserv, and we got absolutely no response. So we'll be creating it from scratch. Staff will continue developing procedures for recording and disposals. The next comment's on the payroll 941 reconciliation. Auditors had recommended that the city institute control procedures for the quarterly 941 reconciliation, and that we should reconcile to the general ledger rather than a crystal report. Staff has taken appropriate action and performs quarterly reconciliations to the general ledger. For the finance and accounting department, the auditors had recommended that the city continue to ensure that it has adequate resources at the professional staff level. The comment was made because of the staff turnover. New staff has been hired for accounting. The new senior accountant has a CPA designation. The new CFO ACM hired has multiple designations. So I expect that comment to go away as well. Next comment is on the outsourced operations. The auditor's comment said the city should stress contract management efforts for all areas outsourced. In other words, just because you're outsourced doesn't mean you wash your hands of the deal. You have to keep an eye on what's going on. So the city's contract administrator is proactively working with all the departments to assure that all the contracts are actively being managed.
Let me speak to that for just a moment, if I may. One of the reasons behind consolidating the purchasing department back up on the third floor was to get a better handle on the contracts management. If you can imagine, we got a $650 million annual budget. We execute a lot of contracts annually. And so it's very important that we be able to itemize and manage those contracts. And so one of the strategies that we've incorporated is that we've asked staff to identify a project manager for every contract that's over $50,000. So we've got an individual who is literally listed with that contract that we can hold accountable should something happen with that contract. So this is one of those efforts that we've undertaken on a proactive basis to make sure that we're actively managing those contracts in the interest of the city of Ocala.
Do we have software in place where we can search and how, what kind of accurate, I mean, can we pull, like if I wanted a list of all the contracts that are open and what their status is, how easy is that to obtain?
We do have Eden software. I'm going to let the subject matter expert come forward and give you more information.
Cindy Kelly, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. We do have an active contracts module, which is all contracts are scanned into the module, and anything that pertains to that contract is attached to it. So you can see all invoices, purchase orders, payouts, bid documents, if it was bid out, you can see the backup. And we do have reporting and search capability. There are also limits. So if the contract was for $75,000, it is set up so that that contract cannot be overspent above the $75,000 limit. But we do have the ability to do full reporting. And for management, in fact, that is a report we put out so that they know what contracts are coming due, what's expiring, and they can actively manage this.
And are they being actively managed?
Yes, they are.
And I have another question. I can't remember what it is now. Okay.
Yeah, back when Councilman, you remember this, Councilman Owen, when Councilman Roos was here, he had asked for that to be done, and because what was happening was contracts were coming up for renewal, nobody even knew that they were time for them to be renewed, and we didn't know what contracts we had.
Yes, and we do have triggers in there that let the department heads know when the expiration date is coming, so it's kind of a tickler system, and they're able to run that report and see what's coming due for the next 6 months, the next year, next quarter.
Mm-hmm. And who's doing that? Where is that being done? Is that being done at the department level? Is it being done in the purchasing department? Where is that being done?
We monitor the spend in the finance department, but each department is responsible for the monitoring of their own specific contracts, because we only have one contract administrator, and she couldn't manage the whole city.
So each department head, if I said to them, let me see what contracts are outstanding, they would be able to pull that up and look, and
yes,
they would be able to know.
That's correct.
What the status is on each one of their contracts.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Maybe I will.
Test us. We've not arrived yet. The bar of excellence keeps getting higher.
See you tomorrow.
I'll send you an email tonight.
But we've come a long way.
I'm available at 9:30, how about you?
I do know that in the contract module, the contracts are set up with a department code in the front. So if you wanted all the revitalization strategy department, you would get all their contracts.
Okay, all right, thanks.
Well, and I mean, going along with, Ken, what you're talking about, so, I mean, we had, I know where we have contracts that like a 1 year's contract will go, and then council decides that after a year, we want to put it back out to bid. Well, then all of a sudden, things bleed over to 14 or 15 months, and then it just defaults to the guy who had the last year's thing, and it never ends up going out to bid. So that just, when you hear real lifetime, when I hear stuff being scanned, that's just, it's being scanned, and hopefully, I mean, you're saying that there's timeframes in there to where there's more like real live software as compared to just a scanning software.
Right.
But it's, you know, this contract's got 67 days left on it.
Right.
And it's a...
And
I was just going to say what he was saying. I give you a real life example. The drainage retention area back at the Bennigan's now, Tilted Kill, we had like 258 DRAs. They're supposed to be mowed every month. Mm-hmm. That one hadn't been mowed in 20 years. City all of a sudden said, well, now it's a wetland. Bruce Phillips said, it's a wetland now. and it can't be disturbed in the water management industry. So just because you haven't mowed it in 20 years doesn't define it as a wetland.
Just
yeah,
leave,
you can clean it.
Leave it alone long enough, we can get some grant money for it.
Yeah, I'm serious. That's an example.
Actually, Daniel, I'm going to have Cindy talk about just briefly the triggers that are within that module in Eden.
Yeah, so we do have alerts set up in the system that it would notify the department. It also is live with the general ledger. So every time that contract is touched, it's updating the general ledger, it's updating the invoice module. So it is more than just a passive scanning. There are budget flags in there so they can't overspend. It has approval queues as to who is allowed to access that contract and what is allowed to be done with it. And we do monitor that from the finance standpoint. We are actively looking at when things are coming due and when was the last time that it was bid out. So we do look at that and we reach out and touch the departments and let them know, you know, you've got this coming up, because it's a workflow issue for us as well.
And what about, so for example, you know, if the contractor, whoever's got the contract, is supposed to provide us with certain documentation by a certain time, what are those flags to... I mean, is there a flag that comes up and says, okay, it's due today, and so we can go back and check, okay, do we have that?
The contract module doesn't necessarily do that. Now, those triggers, Matt talked about having a project manager, and as part of the project management form and the council agenda item that comes forward, we identify what those triggers and what those action items and deliverables are on that contract. So that is the part where, on the part of management, they would have to actively be managing that contract and being aware of what those deliverables are.
So how do we know if that's occurring?
That is something that Matt would deal with the ACMs directly on, whether or not things are occurring. I don't have the ability in the contract module to trigger every actionable item on every contract, because we have several hundreds of contracts.
Right, that's my concern.
Yes, that's the part where management has to do their job.
That's why she's going to see you in 9:30.
And, you know, from an internal, right, I am not the project manager, but from an internal control perspective, what our job in finance would be to spot check those types of things. And if we see that those things aren't going on, as Matt talked about, we have a project manager to go to have a chance to rectify that situation.
I have been meeting with departments to teach them about project management documentation. Mm-hmm. So eventually they're all going to know how to really manage their own projects. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I've been working on. But I was kind of sidetracked with card sales, so I'll be continuing to work on that.
Okay, thank you.
So really it's a three-pronged approach. One, of course, is a new module in Eden that allows us to scan in and put in there the contracts. Two is the training, the education. I think we have better educated staff about how to manage contracts better we're going to be. And then thirdly is the designation of an individual who would literally be assigned to that contract to be that project manager. So if something goes wrong, we have an accountable party that we can fall back to.
All right, the final comment from the auditors was that they recommended the city consider the need for an IT audit or risk assessment. The auditors recommended that the city update and formalize its IT policies, procedures, and controls. And I believe the IT audit and risk assessment proposals are in negotiations at this time. IT has been actively working on this item while staying focused on the Cogsdale Go Live. And that completes all the comments. Thank you.
Now we're going to have Mark White and his team from Purvis Gray, and they're going to come up and talk a little bit about the process and the timeline and what goes on from here.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. I'm Mark White, and this is my partner, Tim Westgate. We are both the partners in charge of your audit, and just want to let you know we typically do assign two partners to all of our audits to provide you with better service and have more than one point of contact at the partner level. We will both be heavily involved with your audit, myself perhaps more so during the field work portion, and Tim will be more at the conclusion of the job as our quality control reviewer, and will function as a consultant as needed during the course of the audit. So that is who we are and our roles with this. You may be asking, why are we here today? We are here to provide you with an update on the status of the city's audit and answer any questions that you might have about it. The audit standards that we must follow encourage a two-way dialogue between the auditors and those charged with governance of an organization. So this meeting fulfills those standards. However, we also want to communicate to you to certainly feel free to contact us at any time if you have any concerns or want to discuss anything beyond what we do today. That's part of our role. Just very briefly, a little bit about our firm and our credentials. Your audit is conducted by our Ocala office. We have three other statewide offices. One in Gainesville, where the firm was founded over 65 years ago, plus Tallahassee and Sarasota. We have approximately 75 people statewide, 23 of which are in the Ocala office. Our audit practice emphasis is in local governments and electric utilities for over 40 years. We currently serve as auditors for over 20 cities, 6 counties, 6 school districts, several special districts, including the Florida Municipal Power Association, the city's wholesale electric provider. So let me turn it over to Tim now, who's going to talk a little bit about the scope of service.
Thank you. Again, my name is Tim Westgate. I'm one of the partners with the engagement, as Mark mentioned. A little bit on the scope, you know, there's a question of, well, why do we even have to go through an audit? Of course, there are a lot of requirements out there. Florida statutes, your bond, your grant requirements require you to have the annual financial audit. The financial statements themselves do come from management and are the responsibility of management. Our contribution is an audit report that goes on there that will hopefully present that those financial statements are free of material misstatement and that they're properly presented. We also will provide a report on internal control over financial reporting, compliance with laws and regulations, and those components that could have a material impact on the financial statements. The city is also, as you know, a recipient of a significant amount of federal and state grants and award monies. So when you receive that money, there's tons of extra strings attached, and that includes requirements for the auditors. So we do have procedures that we'll perform in our audit that's known as the single audit over those grant monies. A couple things that we're required to communicate to you in this two-way communication is keeping you aware of where do we stand in the audit process. We have already performed our interim or our preliminary procedures back in July, and that's for the fiscal year end that ended yesterday, is what we're working on. That includes plannings, meeting with staff and with management, a lot of internal control procedures. All that as we gear up for the final field work once the city is completely closed out for the year and is completely audit ready. We anticipate that to be near the end of January or early February, which I'll remind you is significantly earlier than where it had been if you go back several years. We do anticipate the final issuance of the financial reports and our audit reports by the end of March, which is on a very good timeline. As Mark had mentioned, this is opening up the two-way communication process. So as long as there's no major issues that arise, you won't have to hear from us again until the very end of the process. Hopefully that'll be the case. At that time, we'll review the results of the audit as well as the audit reports with you. We do work with the city's internal auditor. I don't believe Jeannie's presenting today, but we did want to mention to you, we do work with her continually to help make the audit more efficient and effective. With her, we've identified some key areas to work together on that are designed. Some of those are designed to support our audit. A lot of those are things that Jeannie's already doing throughout the year, and we integrate her work into the results of our audit. While we are only spending a couple minutes with you today, part of that two-way communication, this is an opportunity for you to ask questions. But as Mark mentioned, we are available to you going forward if you wanted to get into the exciting details a lot deeper, or if you had any concerns that arise. But I'll let Mark make a couple more comments first.
Yes, I have one other item I wanted to let you know about. I don't believe we'd even mentioned it to the city staff yet, but I know it will give them great pleasure to know that the auditors get audited. We are required every 3 years to undergo what's referred to as a peer review, where a group of CPAs comes in to our place instead of us coming into your place, and they audit our system of quality control and adherence to the professional standards that we are required to follow. And we just completed ours about 3 weeks ago. And of course, the results are not final until they go up the line and are approved formally and all that, but we expect a clean opinion with no modifications or comments. And ironically, the City of Ocala audit engagement for your 2012 year was selected by the peer reviewers to review. We came out with no comments, so I think that's very good. We're proud of that, and you know, it just kind of makes us realize at least every 3 years what it's like to be sitting on the other side of the audit table. So I think with that, we'll close our presentation and ask for any questions.
That's all I have. Thank you very much, unless you have any questions or comments.
Madam President, that's all staff has.
Okay, so I guess we'll close this agenda and prepare.
Madam President, if we can have about 1 or 2 minutes just to transition, that'd be great.
I don't see a chaplain out there.
Maybe outside.